This morning, we're in this series, Building a Fire from Flicker to Flame, and the idea of the series is building a fire, which the fire represents our relationship with God. And so if you want a fire to be raging hot, you've got to put logs on it, or gas, because that makes it go really fast. But if you want the fire to be big and raging hot, you've got to put stuff on the fire for it to be able to consume and burn. And so in the same way, in our relationship with God, if we want the flame to be heated up, if we want the flame to be big, we've got to make sure that we add to that flame. And so in this series, we've been looking at what does it look like to add to that fire? And so a couple weeks ago, we talked about confession and how confessing things in our lives actually helps us to walk in freedom and experience the forgiveness of God, which turns up the heat in our relationship with God. And Hannah preached a few weeks ago about possessions. Sometimes possessions get really important in our lives. And one of the things that Jesus says to people, and he says some really challenging things, but for people that put too much stock in their possessions, Jesus would just tell them, just go get rid of it, sell it. And for a lot of people, that's like a crazy thought. Like, I can't imagine getting rid of my possessions or this thing that I love so much. But actually, when we do those things, like in service to God and in worship to him, it actually turns up the heat in our walk with him. And I'm one of those, I really love God with all my heart, but I feel like in some ways there's this like, I'm perpetually dissatisfied with just the status quo because I know that there's so much more. And when Jesus talks, he tends to give us that idea that like, you think this is good, wait, there's so much more. You know, and if you read some of the conversations that Jesus had with people, he didn't tend to tell people, you know, just kind of like coast through life, just kind of manage things and do the best you can. Like he would actually turn up the heat and he would encourage people to turn up the heat. So it's possible to have a relationship with God that is this like raging hot flame. And I don't know about you, but when I start thinking about that way and I read what Jesus says, I just have this desire where I'm like, God, whatever I can possibly experience in you, I want all of it. And so if you're in that same boat this morning, I just want to encourage you to really listen. We're going to talk about worship. And maybe you're here and you don't even know where you stand or whether you believe. And I just want to say, we're really glad that you're here. Part of the reason that we came and planted Transformation Church is we just want to show people what it means to really love Jesus. And our desire is that people would experience and encounter God, people that have never encountered him before. And so if you're here this morning and you're like, I don't even know if I believe any of that stuff, you're in the right place. We're really glad that you're here. And our prayer is that you would just encounter his love and his grace in an incredible way. He's amazing. So in worship, and I was thinking about this, I'm going to explain what worship is, but when I was growing up, I had a little bit of a worship problem. And I think I've talked before about, like, I used to be a little bit obsessed with Jackie Chan. So I like action, and I like actually doing things that are like action sequences. And so anyways, I got involved in like watching Jackie Chan movies with a friend of mine. Like so much, when I say I was a little bit obsessed, there was one year we celebrated his birthday. So his birthday is in April, and we bought a cake, and we got together at his house, and like we watched a whole bunch of Jackie Chan movies and ate the cake and celebrated. And when I was, I think like 14 or 15 years old, I read Jackie Chan's biography. So I read the whole thing, and I was just, like, obsessed with the story. And my friend and I, we were convinced that we could make movies just like Jackie Chan. And so we used to write these fight scenes, and he's, like, known for doing all his own stunts. So we would write, like, the fight sequences like we'd see in the movies and act them out. I got punched in the face one day because we were trying one of these scenes, and I'd, like, dropped my guard, and he got me right in the face. But I was, like, kind of pumped about it. I was like, yeah, we're into this. So I had this, like, it was like a little bit of an obsession. So I got to the point where I was like, I think I like Jackie Chan too much. Like, it's not normal to celebrate someone's birthday who you've never met and who doesn't know that you're celebrating. Like, he didn't even know we were celebrating his birthday or that we existed. When I was thinking about worship, I was thinking about how easy it is for us to worship either people or things other than God. And not all worship is something that is directed towards God. So I want to read you the definition of worship, and it should be up on the screen. So worship just means to be in awe of, and then to be afraid of. So there's this element in worship, like real worship, and we're talking, when I'm talking about this definition of worship, I'm talking about when we worship God. So in worship of God, there's also this element of fear because you're in the presence of all-powerful creator of the universe, right? And so a definition of worship that fits as far as Christians are concerned in their attitude towards God is that worship is fearful and awe-filled adoration. So when Vicky and I, a couple years ago, went to the Niagara Falls, we went on the Maid of the Mist thing, like so you could go right up to the bottom of the Niagara Falls, and we were also up at the top, and we were looking down, and there's this, like, there's this awe that you experience when you look at the Niagara Falls. Like, but there's also fear coupled with it. Because I don't know if you've ever been to the Niagara Falls, but when you're standing right at the edge and you're kind of looking at the water going down over the edge into the abyss, like, I don't know why, but I always picture, like, I wonder if I could swim against that current, right? And I'm not crazy enough where I'd actually try it, but I do think about it. Because I look at that current and I'm like, this is, like, the most powerful force of water that I've ever seen. And I'm looking at, like, right where it just goes right over the edge, and it looks super calm and super peaceful, almost where you could just jump in. But it's traveling over the edge of that cliff so fast that it would be humanly impossible to be able to swim up against that current. And so there's this awe, and there's this fear. And I was thinking about the Niagara Falls when I was thinking about our worship of God, that God is the creator of, like, when we say the universe, we kind of, we don't define always what it is, but like, just think about something that blows your mind, like the human eye. Like, one day God just put that together. Like, he invented the operations, the mechanics of a human eye. Like, that God created, invented oxygen. Like, he's the one that, he put the stars in their place, and especially the sun, and it's incredible. If you study what's called the fine-tuning of the universe, like, if the earth was a little bit closer to the sun, we would all die, because it would be too hot and we would burn up. If the earth was a little bit further away from the sun, we would all die because it would be too cold and we wouldn't, like, humanity wouldn't be able to exist on this planet. So God is the one that was like, no, it's right here. Like, the earth has to be right here and the sun has to be right here in order for people to be able to survive. Like, there's this incredible, brilliant, genius God, right, that we get to be in relationship with as his followers. And we can worship him, but what tends to happen a lot of times is we worship other things. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. We're going to read from Romans chapter 1. And in this chapter, like, there's this sentence, and you're going to see it in here, where God is, like, correcting the people, saying, like, you've chosen to worship just created things rather than the creator. How foolish is that? And as we're talking about worship this morning, I just want you to think about the tendency that's in all of us to worship something that's just made, it's created, and we forget to worship the creator of the universe, the genius that's behind all of it. And the reason that I get excited about pursuing God and following Jesus, and the reason that I'm not content just with status quo is because I'm like, I know that there's so much more to experience as a follower of Christ. Like this, when we talk about building a fire, like, our relationship with God can look like a raging fire. We can experience the God that created oxygen and the human eye and put the earth exactly where it needs to be so that life could exist. Like, we can be in relationship and know him. And sometimes we're just content to be like, you know, I really want this awesome new Tesla car. Or, like, I just wish I could get tickets to the Super Bowl next year to watch the Patriots lose because I can't stand watching them win. Or whatever, right? Like, we get ourselves set up on things that are just here in this earth. And what God is saying to us is, like, I'm actually inviting you into a relationship with me. Like, that's amazing. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to look at Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18 today. God, I just want to thank you for your word. Lord, and we're talking this morning about worshiping you. And in all honesty, none of us in this room worships you perfectly. But all of us are being invited into a relationship with you, which is mind-blowing, which is amazing. And so, God, I just pray that as we read this scripture this morning and talk about worship, would you just open up our minds and our hearts and help us to just come into this realization of who you are? Lord, I just pray that even this morning that we would have a sense of your presence and a sense of your peace, God. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. And before we read this, I just wanted to comment too, especially if you're kind of new to church and you come in and you think it's a little bit strange, like why do people sing these songs and like raise their hands, stuff like that? Worship, I just wanted to point out before we jump into this that worship is not the songs that we sing on Sunday, but it's what motivates writing those songs, right? So when you encounter God, you're so in awe of him. You're so overwhelmed by who he is, his amazing power and grace and mercy that if you're musical, you want to write music about it. If you're active, you want to get out in nature and just experience it, right? So like when you actually encounter God, whatever it is that you love to do as far as creating, you want to do that in worship towards him. And so even on Sunday mornings when we come in, and it might look funny, and sometimes I think about that, like if you're not somebody that's used to going to church and you're like, what are all these like lunatics doing, like raising their hands? Like, what is that? Like, for me, like when I get to come into a place with people who love Jesus and worship him, like everything in me just wants to go, God, I just love you. Like, I want to encounter you deeply. And not just that I want to encounter him, but I just want to lift up his name because he's the only one who's good. He's the only one who deserves worship and adoration and praise. You know, when we think about it, we give our worship and our adoration and our praise to a lot of people and things that just don't deserve it. But God is this God who will never fail us. He'll never let us down. Every other aspiration, every other desire we have lets us down. It falls short. But God doesn't, and we tend not to give it to him. And so in this passage, I love this passage. It's starting in verse 18. It goes to verse 25. It'll be up on the screen if you want to read there or follow along. But this describes kind of a worship mess. So the title that in my Bible that I'm reading from, the title of this section says, God's Wrath Against Sinful Humanity. You thought you were coming for like something really uplifting and encouraging, didn't you? No, but what God is describing in here, his wrath against sinful humanity, you're going to see it here that people, us, all of us in this room, tend to worship things rather than the one who created it. And God is saying, why would you do that? Because when we worship something or someone other than God, it leads us into sin. It leads us into lives that are totally separate from how God wants us to live our lives. And so he's bringing that correction. And God's ultimate desire in this is because he loves you and I and wants to know us and be in relationship with us. So starting verse 18 says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse. Now listen, this is convicting stuff if you're reading it and thinking about yourself. He says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. And this is the verse I really want to focus on because it encapsulates all that's being said here. He says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. And so, and I want you to just like think about this for a second. So as we're talking about worship, think about some of the things or maybe the people that you tend to worship. So just that you adore or that you think about often. Right? So whether it's a thing or a desire or a person, just think about those things. Whatever you worship will direct the course of your life. It's that, it'll be up there. Whatever you worship, it is going to direct the course of your life. And so if you go back to what I was talking about earlier with Jackie Chan, I had this obsession with Jackie Chan. I loved watching the movies, making the movies. And because I thought about it all the time, I started making fight scenes and making movies that were similar to his, right? And you think about this just in your life. Whatever you worship and adore is going to set the course of your life, which is a scary thing. And so God, in this book of Romans, through the Apostle Paul, he's bringing this correction to people, and he's saying, like, you've worshiped created things rather than the Creator. Now, I want to also say this. Most of the things that you and I worship aren't bad in and of themselves. Hannah preached a couple weeks ago about the story of the rich young ruler. And this guy came to Jesus, and he had all of these possessions. And he said, Jesus, basically what he was asking was, like, how do I follow you, right? And Jesus, famously, and this is a really famous story in Scripture, says to him, if you truly want to follow me, if you truly want treasure in heaven, sell everything you own, give it to the poor. So give it to Grace Place, right? That's what he would have said if it was Thunder Bay today. Give it all away, and then come follow me, and then you'll have treasures in heaven. Well, the riches, the things that he had, weren't bad in and of themselves. But for him, they had become his gods. They had become what he worshipped. And so Jesus was saying, if you truly want to encounter me, you've got to get rid of that. Those are the things that you've got to let go of. And so the things sometimes that we worship and adore, those, they are not bad in and of themselves. And so I want you to, and I really want to personalize this morning, because I think for all of us, we can think of some things. And so verse 25 says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. You can just leave that verse on the screen for a minute. I want you to just, that verse is really convicting. So what Paul is saying to the people that he's writing to is he's describing humanity, and he's describing the mess that the world is in. And I'm pretty sure we can all agree in this room, you know, and in a room with this many people, it's hard to agree on a lot of things. I find it hard to agree on everything in a room where there's two people. Sometimes I find it hard to agree when it's just me in the room on things. But I'm pretty sure we could all agree that the world is in a mess. There's just all kinds of messes going on in this world. If you look at politics, I mean, if you look at Hollywood, if you look anywhere, you see this mess. And Paul here, he's talking about the state of the world. And what he's saying is he's like, the reason things are in such a mess is because people are worshiping created things rather than the Creator. So the things in and of themselves aren't always evil, but when we worship and adore and give our lives to things other than God, it leads to a mess. And so I want to ask you this morning, what is it that you worship? And one of the ways that we can tell what we worship, what is it that dominates your thoughts? I'm going to read a verse a little bit later that talks about our thoughts. And so this is a really convicting thought for me when I realized this a few years ago. The things that I worship are what I tend to think about all the time. So what is it that you tend to think about constantly, all the time? What's on your mind on a regular basis? When I'm looking at the Niagara Falls, when I was standing, you know, over the edge and looking at the water and seeing like the powerful rush of the water, like I was just in awe of that. I was amazed. My mind was dominated by that. And it forced me as a Christian to think like, I know the one who created that. Like, that's incredible, right? And so as followers of Christ, we can get to the point where everything that we see points us to God, and our thoughts are constantly being brought to him like, God, thank you. I can't believe you did that. Even, and I'm going to show a picture later of a really nice car, but even if you're into cars, even if you're just into things, like, as a follower of Christ, you can get to the point where you can see a really nice car from, you know, a classic car from years ago, that you can just go like, God, you actually put the brain inside of the man or woman who invented that, and they were able to make it. Like, everything points to God. But what we do is we stop and we don't get to the God part in our worship. We worship these things, which leads to sin. Because we get to the point where we'll do almost anything to get what we desire, because our worship has stopped at something and not gone to God. And so what is it that dominates your thoughts? What is it that takes up most of your time? And this is a big one. Where do you spend most of your money? This is a really challenging thought. So as somebody who loves Jesus and wants to follow him, I've thought a lot about my wife and I, like our money, just the income that we have. Where do we invest our money? And as a follower of Christ, it's crazy. Like Jesus teaching, and in the New Testament teaching the apostles, when they taught about money, like basically, as a follower of Christ, you get to the point where you're like, it's not mine, it's God's. Like, he trusts me with a certain amount, and I give it to him. So when he says, you know, I want you to go and give money to people that are in need, and you're like, well, I can't afford it, his response to that is, but I'm the one providing for you. Do you trust me? Like, it really comes back to trust. And so The things that we worship, though, it tends to be where we spend our money. So if it's on God, we're constantly being challenged with his purposes and his plans. But think about, where does most of your money get spent? If we're in the same boat as what Paul is describing in Romans chapter 1, most of us spend our money, our thinking time, on things rather than on the one who created it all, which leads to a mess. And so I want you to just think for a second about, and I learned this when I was with Malachi. So my son Malachi, he's 11, he has this, like, he's in this stage where he likes to ask why for everything, okay? And so I don't know even what he was asking one time, but we were just driving, and he asked me a question, and I answered the question. And then he said, well, why? And then I tried to answer the why to that question. And then he kept asking why. And eventually we got back to God. And I realized something. Like, I was like, if you follow, it's called a trace back. And so this is, I want you to put the next picture up that's on the screen. And so you might be like, why are you have this picture? Does anybody know what that car is? Okay, does anybody know the year? 67. 60. It is a 67. Unless, I mean, maybe they had both in the same year. That's what, but yeah. I was like, I don't know how people do that. People look at a car and look, yeah, this is the year and the make and the model. So 67 Mustang convertible, right? And so when you, and I want you to just do this, like after you leave here, like in the week, I want you to do what's called a trace back. So something that makes you go, that's amazing, I want you to trace it back until you get to God, right? Or just trace it back and you'll find, and this is what I've been discovering in my life, everything traces back to God. Right? And so this, it's a funny picture to have up when we're talking about this, but this 67 Mustang convertible traces back to God. And what God is correcting people about here in Romans chapter 1 is he's saying, like, you've worshipped things instead of the Creator, which has led to all kinds of sin. But as a follower of Christ, and as a, if once you realize that God is the Creator of all things, you realize that he's the one that gave the guy that made that, or the girl, the genius to be able to engineer this vehicle and put it together. Like, everything traces back to God. But the problem for us is that most of us don't trace things back. We stop at the thing, and that's why in our lives, our relationship with God doesn't look like a raging fire. It doesn't look like a flame that's really hot, because we've stopped and we've began to worship things rather than the Creator. I have this friend, he's not really, I've met him one time. I was asked to go speak at a concert that he was rapping at. He's from Winnipeg, and he was on the East Coast, and he was doing this hip-hop concert, and a friend of mine that was bringing him in asked me if I'd go and speak, and so I got to meet this guy, and I'd listened to his albums in the past, and I really liked him, and so it was really cool to be able to meet this guy. His name is Fresh IE, and after the concert, we went to a restaurant together, and we were out talking, and he was talking about, he's got this, he loves to play Madden online, and so if you have a PlayStation or an Xbox, you can play football online against other people. And he was saying, and this guy's like, he travels all over the place, tells people of Jesus, he's super evangelistic, and it was really funny talking to him, because he was talking about playing Madden online, and he was like, yeah, my wife hates that I play games, you know, all the time, and she's like, oh, that's so, like, juvenile, like, you're grown up, and you got kids, and, like, you should move on, like, why are you still playing Madden, right? And so anyways, he shared this story about he was playing online, and when you're playing games online, you can have a headset, which means you're able to talk to people all over the world while you're playing. And he told this story about how he was playing football against this guy, and they got talking, and the conversation ended up talking about Jesus. And this young guy, online, while they were playing football, gave his life to Jesus. He surrendered his life to Christ, became a Christian. And so he's telling the story at the restaurant, and he was like, so I told my wife, see, God uses Madden, and he uses games, right? Like, and he was just like, he was like, it's okay. Like, it's okay for me to play that. But I was thinking about, as a follower of Christ, when you're in awe of God, it's like everything that you do, everything that you're a part of, somehow you recognize God in the midst of it. But sin happens when we worship the thing and we don't get to the Creator. For most of us, we worship things, physical things. And so maybe it is like a 67 Mustang convertible. Or maybe for you, it's success or a career. And I don't know if you noticed, in this passage, Paul talked about people worshiping things rather than the Creator. And so the people became incredibly sexually immoral. You know, I was getting ready for this, and I was just thinking about God was the one who invented sex. So that's not something we talk about a lot in church. But if you look in this world, there's a lot of sexual perversion. You know, there's a lot of scandals coming out in the news right now for churches and in politics and all kinds of sexual scandal, crazy things going on, right? But do you know that God is the one who invented sex? Like, he's the genius behind that. And in Scripture, you can read, there's certain books even in the Bible that I wouldn't just encourage my kids to read. My son's 11. I'm not like, hey, you should go read Song of Solomon tomorrow. Like, you know, that one's like, you know, wait till you're about to get married to go read that. But God created sexuality for a husband and wife, and he describes what it's supposed to look like. He describes what a marriage relationship looks like, what sex is supposed to look like. And some of the stuff you read in the Scriptures, like before I got married, it would turn my face red. Because I would read stuff and I'm like, you're allowed to, like, for one thing, I didn't think you were allowed to say it. Another thing, I didn't think the Bible would ever say it. But there's some things in there where you're like, man, that's, like, I can't believe God said that. But God is the one who invented sexuality. But you know that there's a lot of problems and messes in this world right now because people have stopped at sex and have not gone beyond to realize the creator of the universe who invented it and gave us his guidelines, his parameters for it. And so it's led to all kinds of messes. And so in and of itself, sex isn't wrong, but if you look at the things going on in this world, our world is in a mess, and there's all kinds of pain, there's all kinds of heartache. I wouldn't ask for anybody to raise their hands on this, but probably people that are here have experienced sexual abuse of some kind at some point in your life. And those are incredibly hurtful things. And that's what he's talking about. When Paul is saying this in Romans, he's saying, like, the world is in a mess because they've worshiped things and not the Creator. Like, God has given us guidelines that we can have a life that is just filled with his Holy Spirit, that our life can be like a raging fire of a relationship with him. And it can be incredible. It can be pure. It can be holy. It can be exciting. It can be amazing. But instead of pursuing God, instead of worshiping and adoring him and giving all of our worship to him, we worship the created thing and stop there instead of going beyond to the Creator. And so, but there's hope because in worshiping God, and I want to read this to you on the next slide. This is in the, called the Westminster Catechism, and it was this document that was made like a few hundred years ago, and it was a bunch of churches that were trying to figure out how to be unified together. And this sentence, like, I think about it all the time. Because even the other night, I was laying in bed. We were about to go to sleep, Vicky and I. And I don't know why. Like, I just have these questions. I looked at her, and I was like, what is the purpose of man? Like, what is the purpose of humanity? Like, I can't get away from thinking about, like, big questions sometimes. And in this Westminster Catechism, a bunch of theologians and church-going people got together, and they asked really important questions and said, we need to figure out what we believe. What does the Bible teach? And so this is the most famous question from that document, and it says, what is man's chief end? Which basically just means, what is the purpose of man? Like, what is the reason that we exist? And I don't know if you've ever thought about that. My wife tells me, she's like, people don't think like you do, Nay. so I think about stuff like that all the time. Maybe you're here and you're like, I don't really care what our purpose is, right? But I want to encourage you, challenge you this morning to think about it if you haven't. What is the purpose of your life? Why are you here? Most people go through life trying to figure out how to do the thing that gives them the most pleasure. And most people go through life very disappointed. Most people that go through life don't get the thing they're chasing after. And for some of the people that actually do get that, maybe it's success or money, they get there and they realize, it didn't give me the hope and the peace I actually thought that it would. So we fall up short. And so I want to ask you this morning, just challenge you, like, think about it. What is the purpose that you're here for? And I don't know that there's a better explanation of what that is than this. And it just says man's chief end or his chief purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Like, I, for weeks now, because we're in this series, I've been thinking about this quote, like, God, that's the purpose of my life, is just to glorify you and enjoy you forever. Do you know that there's such an incredible peace with that? If you think that your purpose in this life is to get to the point where you're just super successful, or you reach a certain point in your career where you have all kinds of power, or you've got all kinds of people that look to you and love you, or if you chase after anything else in this life, you're going to come up short. You're going to be disappointed. You may even be absolutely devastated. Hannah, a couple weeks ago, brought up the quote of the richest man in modern history, John D. Rockefeller, who he was richest ever, even now, because of inflation. And somebody asked him, like, how much money is enough? And he said, well, just a little bit more. Like, this is the guy that's got it all, and he still was not satisfied. But what this is saying, our purpose in life is to just glorify God and enjoy him forever. You know, you can get to the point in your life, this is true, you can get to the point in your life where you have nothing, but you're just at peace with God because you've learned to just enjoy God. You've learned to just trust God. So whether you have all kinds or whether you have nothing, you're like, doesn't really matter because I've got this relationship, this peace with God that nothing can take it away. You know, and as a pastor, like the deepest desire in my heart for me personally is to get to the point where that's it. Like I've settled my heart in just my relationship with God, but is that you would experience that. That no matter what life throws at you, no matter what difficulty you face, no matter what challenge you're going through, you've just settled in your heart that the purpose of your existence is just to enjoy God and glorify him forever. Part of the reason that we as a church get involved with things like Coldest Night of the Year and raise the money that we do and go out and do that is because of what one of the things this statement is saying is to glorify God. Do you know what glorifies God? When people take time out of their schedule and invest into people that are in need. Like, when Jesus said it himself, he said, like, whatever you do for the least of these, so the person that's like the worst of the worst that nobody wants to be around, however you treat that person, that's how you're treating God. Like, that's what Jesus said, which is a really convicting thought. But what it means for us is that if we want to live a life that glorifies God, sometimes it means we stop chasing the thing that we're chasing. We stop worshiping the thing that we're worshiping. And we go to somebody who nobody else would show love to, nobody else would show grace to, and we just show them God's love. We just reach out with the love of God and we show them, like, this is who Jesus is. This is how much he loves you. I was like thinking last night about Grace Place, and every day they're ministering to people that are in need. They're giving out food. They're giving out clothing and a place to stay. And this is their, I think it's the 17th or 19th year that Grace Place has been around. It's this last night was, I think, the seventh walk that was done. And it's really hard for ministries like that to get enough people to go and show love to people in our city that are in desperate need of it. And whenever I think about it, like, I don't know why, it breaks my heart, because I know that what God wants from us is that we're so at peace with him that we just desire to live our lives in a way that brings him glory. And so when we give up time that we could be spending somewhere else, when we give up money that we could be spending on ourselves to bless somebody else, to show somebody the love of Christ, it glorifies God. You know, when you think about it, I'm a dad, so it's easier for me to think that way, but when my kids do something nice for each other, like, I don't, like, it just makes my heart sing. Because it's not every day that your kids are always doing something nice for each other, right? So my older ones, Esther and Malachi, have a paper route, and there's this weird dynamic in our family. So Esther and Malachi are close in age, and then Andrew and Lucy are close in age. And the ones that are close in age tend to, like, bicker with each other. They don't get along with each other as much, but they love the other ones. And even to the point, I asked Lucy the other day, if she liked Andrew or Malachi more. She's like, Malachi. I just ask them questions like that. It's funny. But they have a hard time. But so when Esther and Malachi go out on their paper route and I hear them coming back in the door and they're talking and having a good time and laughing, like, it just makes my heart sing. And in the same way, like, it brings your Father in heaven so much joy when you reach out and show love to people who are in desperate need of it. So much so that Jesus says, however you treat the least of these, however you interact with the people that are kind of at the bottom, the lower rung of the ladder, like, that's how you're treating me. And so our purpose, when we worship God fully, we get to this point where it's like, the purpose of my life, the very reason I exist, is just to bring God glory, right? So that's by showing love and doing the things that we do, but then also just to enjoy him forever. Like, this is incredible. Like, the God that made the brain of the guy that made that 67 convertible Mustang, the God that invented the distance that needs to happen between the sun and the earth so that their life would exist, the God that just does all of these incredible things, he just wants us to enjoy him for all eternity. Like, just, there's so much peace in that. Like, you look at the way the world works, like, we chase after the things that we worship, and it causes so much mess and so much pain, and so much difficulty amongst each other. There's so much pain and war and abuse that goes on, right? But the desire that God has for you and I is that we would just enjoy him forever. Like, that our whole hearts would be just like wanting to give him glory and honor for all of eternity and enjoy him. Like, what a peaceful existence. And so when God gives harsh words here in the scriptures and his wrath against humanity, it's because the things that we do, the pursuits that we chase, are bringing destruction to our lives. And God would rather us get to the point where he is our pursuit, he's our worship. In the next slide, this is the one that I said I was going to show afterwards. I want to read this to you. There's an older version of the New Living Translation. So if you look this up in the New Living Translation, it won't use the word thoughts. But when I was lobster fishing a few years ago, I had this little old New Living Translation Bible that was on the boat. And so whenever we were sailing back in, I would read the Bible sometimes and just start to think about God, which was easy because I was out on the ocean. And sometimes there was like really beautiful days and the sun was coming down and it was just incredible and you could see God's creation. And I remember one day I was sitting on the back of the boat and we were sailing back into to land to sell our lobsters and finish our day. And I stumbled on this verse and Jesus is teaching in Luke chapter 12 and he's talking about possessions and all the things that we chase after. And he says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will be also." And no other translation puts the word thoughts in there. But if you look up, the reason that this older New Living Translation version did that is because if you go back to the Greek, our heart represents, like, it's like the seat of our emotions. It's everything that we feel is in our heart. And so, essentially what Jesus is saying, if you want to find out where your treasure is, if you want to find out what it is that you chase after, that you adore, what is it that you spend your time thinking about and meditating on? And if it's not God, if it's not a pursuit of God, then the warning that we hear from Scripture is that our lives will lead to destruction. Because we chase after things with selfish motives and selfish intent, and we do whatever we can to get it. We become like what we worship. And what we worship really sets the course of our lives. And so if you're somebody who worships God wholeheartedly with all of your being, you won't be able to help but show love to other people. You won't be able to help but feel peace in the midst of crazy storms and difficulties and trials. And the kind of marker, if you're wondering where you're at, as I want to encourage you, what is it that you spend your time thinking about, wishing that you had? What are the things when you lay up at night that you're like, I wish this, or I wish this, or I wish this? God is, his correction in Scripture is that we worship things rather than the Creator. And so whatever it is that you love or desire, I want to encourage you, like, do the trace back and realize, like, God is the one that created the possibility for whatever that is that you love or crave or long for. And he gives us, in his word, instructions on how to live for him. And so I'm going to invite the team to come back up, and we're going to do a few songs to close. And I just want to encourage you, as we're doing that, to maybe for you it's a new thing to lift your hands and worship, or just to, like, in your heart just to say, God, I'm giving you my all. But if God is speaking to you and challenging you this morning, I want to encourage you to enter in during this worship time and intentionally worship the Creator of all created things. Worship the one who made it all. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Christ. And as we're talking about this scripture, maybe you've realized, I've been worshiping created things. Like, I've been chasing after things that are going to lead down a road that leads to destruction. And maybe God has brought conviction to your heart. During the worship this morning, I would encourage you, surrender your life to Christ. Like, and surrendering your life to Christ, in the Bible, there's no formula for what that looks like. Becoming a Christian isn't this mystical, magical, 10-step process. It's just getting to the point where you receive him as your Lord. It means saying to him, Jesus, I believe that what you did on the cross was for me. You really did die for me. You really did die for my sins, and I'm inviting you in. I'm turning from my sinful ways. I'm turning from worshiping other things, and I'm giving my life to you. And so maybe that's you this morning. And if it is, I just want to encourage you during this worship time, just offer your heart to him fully and wholeheartedly. Let's pray. God, I just want to thank you for your word. Lord, and it's incredibly convicting to read what Paul is saying in the book of Romans about worship, because, Lord, we know that all of us have gone astray as far as chasing after things rather than you. And God, I just pray that, Lord, even this morning as we worship, that maybe some people that are here, maybe for the first time, they'll sense your presence and your love. And Lord, maybe for the first time, some people this morning will say, I'm making Jesus Lord of my life. I'm turning from my sinful ways. I'm turning from chasing after other things, and I'm going to set my heart on God. And Lord, I just pray that if that's the case for some people this morning, that you would just fill them, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to become a people, a church that worships you wholeheartedly. And that, Lord, as we leave this place, as we spill out onto the streets of Thunder Bay, that it would be so obvious that you're our Lord because we show your love and your grace and your kindness and your mercy to people all over this city. God, we want to see you move in the city of Thunder Bay in powerful ways, God. We love you. In Jesus' name.